listeners. My name's James.
And I'm Tim. We're your hosts.
You're listening to
The Wave of Wire.
Welcome to another depressing episode of The Wave Wire. My name's Tim, and I now no longer have any hair. Hello, everyone.
And this is the culprit who did it.
James is back for another fantastic episode. I'm in a fantastic mood, Tim. The Rockets Nuggets game has just finished, and Tim doesn't have a full head of hair anymore. Its photos will be up later.
I've never, ever had this little hair. I walked outside and my head got burnt.
Pretty silly bet, wasn't it? Kind of the Rockets.
Well, it's not my fault Gallinari and Chandler, right?
James Harden made mincemeat of you. Well, we had a bet. It was either I'll shave Tim's head or Tim, and if Tim wins, if the Nuggets win, Tim would have become the full-time host of The Wave Wire and I would have been merely his co-host. But it didn't work out that way, did it, mate?
If James Harden gets one more free throws. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, now, so we got a lot to get through today.
I've got a pretty indie haircut, so that's all that matters.
I did a pretty good job, actually.
Yeah. Well, at least you didn't just shave the top part of my head. Moving on, I don't want to talk about this anymore. We've got a lot to get through here. We have about 7 different people that we've gone and researched and added for different reasons, categories.
We've got to talk about Tyler Ulis today, Tim.
Yeah, we have 3 drops, and I've also changed it up a little bit and gone with 2 flyers. So 2 people you should be looking sometime during this week, if you don't have enough,
Just stream them at least, yeah.
That's what a flyer is, James.
Yeah.
It's a stream. And whatever you want to call it. Just add them in and give them for a game and then drop them out and chuck your other player back in so you've got as many players playing as you can. You've got 4 moves for the week, so make sure you use them wisely.
Yeah. Tim, of course, we've got to finish off the show today with question time.
We've only got 1 question, really, but we split it into 2.
No, we've got 3.
3? Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Adrian, and we've got 2 from Smatho.
Luke Matheson.
Long time listener, first time caller.
No,
no, definitely not the first time caller.
Absolutely.
He's an experienced veteran of the Wave Wire. No, Tim, we've got heaps to get through today, so do you want to get started?
Jumping straight in, just a quick one off the bat. Tyler Ulis, obviously, add.
Yeah, no, he's probably as much of a must own as Dario Saric is now. I think my tirade of tweets throughout the week, Tim, should have established to everyone that you pretty much need to own Dario Saric right now.
Saric is the man. I didn't even need to put him in here because should already be owned.
And we were tweeting about it. It was throughout the week.
Yeah, Tyler Ulis, definitely. He should be owned everywhere.
Look, Bledsoe has been shut down. Brandon Knight is suffering back spasms.
So he's been shut down.
As they're saying, back spasms. I don't believe it, if I'm being honest. But, look, Tyler Ulis is just about all they've got at the point guard position for the rest of the season.
That's how I like it. He's playing 39 minutes a night.
Exactly. Next to Devin Booker, who's his best friend. Nice little backcourt tandem they've got there that's looking young and ready for the future. They've got to prepare, so definitely get him into your fantasy lineup.
All right, James, the next one.
We've been talking about this fella since early January,
We've
Tim.
Been banging on about Joe Ingles for about a month, at least a month.
It's February now, Tim.
It's been
2 months.
James, it's March. It's middle March, Jim.
It's been that long.
Middle March.
Geez, 2 months.
It's March Madness.
Two and a half months, Tim. We've been banging on about him.
Jeez. He's only in 11% of teams. He was added in 7% of teams today.
He's frustrated. He's part of the question time a little bit later, but let's just give you a little insight into Joe Ingles, what he's doing the last 2 weeks. With Rodney Hood out, shooting 45% from 3. That's pretty good.
He was leading the league in 3-point percentage, and he's now second because he had a bad game.
Yeah, at the All-Star break, he was shooting 50%. So he's averaging 2.4 3-pointers made, 10 points, 4 rebounds, 3.5 assists, and 1 steal, with less than a turnover a game. It's pretty efficient.
And that was only at 25 minutes. And he's been getting bumped up 30+.
That's over the last 2 weeks. So it does include a little bit of the bump in the last week or so, but his numbers even jump up from that if you go in the last week with Rodney Hood and Joe Johnson missing.
Yeah,
he's definitely a must-add.
He's a very good contributor to your side.
Exactly. But how many percent of teams is he in, Tim?
He's in 11% of teams, James. That's why I have here written in capitals. Why is he in 11% of teams?
I really don't understand.
He has more value than Eric Gordon right now. Sorry, that was a bit of a sneak peek into what's coming up later. But
he probably, and he has more value than someone like Tyreek Evans, who misses every second game.
He does.
Too.
He's only in 11% of teams. Probably because no one knows who he is. That's why no one is at him.
Yeah, probably.
All right, on to the next ad, James, because we can talk about him all day. Joe Ingles.
We could
get Joe Ingles.
We could absolutely talk about Joe Ingles all week. All
right, we've got him. James picked him up. James snaked him very early on. All right, Ish Smith is next up, James. He's up to about a 7 assists now. 7 assists a game in the last 2 weeks. He's snaking Reggie Jackson's minutes because he's trash.
Reggie Jackson has been, what's the word? A black hole on defense? What are they called? The things that spin around?
Turnstile.
That's the one. That's what he's been.
You should know. I say it about Ryan Anderson every week.
No, Ryan Anderson. He bullied Mason Plumlee.
Oh, James. You wait till Tuesday. I'm shaving your whole head.
Yuck.
If we win, I'm shaving your whole head.
Anyway, back to Ish Smith. Reggie's been poor. Reggie Jackson's only played 20 minutes or so in the last 4 or 5 games because the business has been blown out.
No, the last 2 games. He actually played 20-something. He was their best on against Toronto. He scored 20 points, had 6 assists.
Well, and they still lost double digits too.
Because that's why Reggie Jackson is known as a bad defender, James. I actually think he's one misstep away from Ish Smith taking over in the starting lineup.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Stan has been very vocal about his displeasure with Reggie Jackson. The players-only meeting that was called in, was it December?
It was December. It was all the way back in December.
Yeah, all the way back in December. The players were jumping on Reggie Jackson for his lack of commitment on the defensive end. And, he was just... selfishness.
On jealousy.
Yeah, I don't know how I got them.
Are you jealous of my fresh do?
Absolutely I am. No, I'm jealous of how good I bloody am with the Clippers team.
Anyway, the thing that I'm trying to figure out here is Detroit knew what they were getting in Reggie Jackson.
High volume, low efficiency.
He was sixth man at OKC for a reason.
He wasn't even sixth man.
Yes, he was. He was the sixth man. He comes off the bench, he shoots, takes over that unit. He's not a very good facilitator. Well, he gets assists, but it's more like Rajon Rondo assists than making your teammates better.
But it's someone like Andre Drummond. Look at how James Harden plays with Clint Capella, the pick and roll, and the, you know, throwing a lot of lobs. It makes a lot of threats for... It opens up a lot of space because they're always worrying, even all the way to the rim, they're worrying Harden's going to pass it here to Clint Capella straight above the rim. Andre Drummond can get way above the rim, Tim. Reggie, I don't think I've ever seen Reggie Jackson throw him an alley-oop.
He doesn't think. He's a point first. He's a score first, score only, sorry, point guard.
Yeah,
he doesn't consider
He's
others.
A points guard. That's the thing.
He only cares about the points for himself. If he drives to the rack, that's it. He's putting it in. He's not dishing it.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
No, exactly.
Makes him very easy to defend in the post.
He's very one-dimensional. He's not a driving kick kind of player. He does like to take it to the rack a lot. We've talked about a lot with Duncan Smith and how Ish Smith, his kind of play style, you know, pushing the pace and everything, kind of suits the Pistons a little bit better and what Stan Van Gundy wants to do with all the three-point shooters spread and everything than Reggie Jackson's high volume, low efficiency chucking, really.
I was going to say, because the Pistons' makeup is exactly... It's a very similar to Denver sort of run and gun. And it's not exactly the same. Like, it has a similar element.
But Reggie Jackson...
You want to get out, and then you want to use Ish Smith, and you want him to do whatever he can to get it quickly to...
Yeah, get it as quickly up the floor
to
as
make
you
sure
can.
There is an early matchup where someone has the advantage, and you just chuck it out, and they score the triple. So... I can't remember who said it, but they said that any team that has Ish Smith as your starting point guard is in a lot of trouble. But I don't think that. I honestly think
Ish Smith is
a very good role player. He's not an all-star. He's not a star. He's a sub-level starting point guard. But in that team, he becomes a star. Not really a star, but he puts up good numbers purely because of the fact that he fits that system so well.
Exactly. He does what... Stan Van Gundy's system revolves around the one in, four out. With Caldwell Pope, Marcus Morris, Tobias Harris,
and then
he's been reinserted into the starting lineup. And Andre Drummond, one of the best rebounders in the league, just
probably
banging
the best rebounder.
Yeah, probably the best rebounder in the league. But banging in the paint. Reggie Jackson, he pounds the ball at the top of the
he
key.
He wastes time.
If you're pounding the ball at the top of the key for 6-7 seconds, it gives the defense time to set up and adjust so they can say, look, Tobias is out here in the corner. Marcus is over there in the corner. Where's KCP? We've got him. Now Andre's in the paint. It ends up a lot of the time, Andre's just got to drop the ball off for Andre Drummond, and he's got to post up. Or Andre's got to, Reggie's got to make a futile drive to the rim, which he's going to be covered because the defense is set up, and they've set up to not only defend, say, like Tobias Harris in the corner, but to, you know, help defend on the drives.
Just a pretty damning statistic, really. The first fact is I'm blaming Reggie Jackson for KCP's poor shooting percentages sometimes.
No, absolutely.
So with we went on NBA.com and we had a look at impact. And with Reggie Jackson on the court alongside KCP and Ish Smith's off the court, KCP shoots 38% from the field.
And 31% from three.
Pretty bad from 3-point line for a marksman.
And his usage rate is a lot lower than it is with Ish Smith.
Okay, and then Ish Smith on the court alongside KCP and Reggie Jackson is off the court. Do you know what KCP shoots, James?
43% from the field.
43% from the field and 39% from three. That's unassailable.
And his usage is a lot higher too.
That's unassailable. That is a damning statistic, really. Like,
and I think
there is no other way to get around that.
I think it illustrates the fact that, you know, Stan Van Gundy is right in kind of moving towards bumping up Ish Smith's minutes, and Reggie Jackson and Ish Smith are really split, pretty much split, dead split of point guard minutes at the moment.
Well, that's why we're saying definitely jump on Ish Smith.
He's trending up. He's definitely trending up.
Definitely jump on him, Smith. Ish Smith. Dish Smith.
Dish Smith. Good old Dish Smith.
James, Bojan Bogdanovic.
We've been talking about him a lot on the DFS podcast, Tim, but now he's making an impact on Classic Fantasy too.
Pure scorer, averaging 17 over the last 2 weeks. Shoots a very good percentage. Shoots about 48% from the field.
He's shooting nearly 40% from three too.
Which for a guy who shoots a lot of mid-range and deep twos, it's actually a very good percentage.
Is he shooting 70% from three with the Wizards? He does not miss.
Doesn't miss free throws. He's automatic from the charity stripe.
Yeah.
He won't let you down in 3-pointers made, points, and field goal percentage at all. And free throw percentage. He's not going to let you down at all. Just don't think he's going to break Nick Batum's quintuple single record anytime soon. If you think he's getting 5 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals, and 5 blocks,
it's not going to happen.
Give him about 3 weeks and he might rack up those other assists, those other numbers.
Do you know what, Timmy's a shooter. Shoot a shoot. That's what he's there for. He's not there to pass the ball to other people. He's there to shoot.
Can't win if you don't enter the raffle, James.
Exactly. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, Tim. Yeah,
absolutely right. So on to Willie Hernangómez, James. He's our rebounder ad. He's nearly averaging a double-double in the last 2 weeks. And if you take out his last game, which was because of foul trouble, he only played 17 minutes, scored 4 points and 6 rebounds, he's at 11-11.
It's fantastic.
With 2 blocks as well.
Joakim Noah ruled out for the rest of the season?
I'm not sure. I think he's game time decision every week. So you can't really... You have to watch for that. I don't think they're going to...
But him and Kylo Quinn have been playing... Kylo Quinn's been pretty good as well.
I don't think they're going to be playing Joakim Noah anytime soon, to be honest. They're regretting that contract massively.
Yeah, what a waste of money that was. That is such a big contract that they're going to have to sit on that bench for the next 3 years. They're nowhere near the playoffs, Tib. So really, what value does he provide to him? He's, you know, his contract's similar to Mozgov's in that they're paying a shit ton of money to him to be sitting on the bench.
That's right. If I was an NBA player, I wouldn't mind that.
I'd be stoked.
Get paid 70 mil to sit on a bench and travel with some boys for 4 years.
Yeah, travel, get around the boys. Yeah. Some
get on the beers.
Playing some cards on the plane.
Yeah, Atlanta's Uno session. Once you're out, you're out. You don't get back in. Did you know about that?
What?
So they had such an intense... When they had that 60 win season.
Yeah.
So I think it started as about 4 of them playing Uno. So every time they would go somewhere, like any time, they would go anywhere. Even if it was from the stadium to the plane or by bus, they would start a game of Uno. You're not allowed to miss a game of Uno. You're not allowed to do anything else. If you say, I'm playing Uno, you play Uno. Like, once you're in, and you have to play every single game. If you miss one game for some reason, like apart from a very good reason, like you're not with the team, even if you're injured and you're with the team, you need to play. Unless you're unconscious, really. You're out and you're allowed back in. It was to build team building.
Uno cult.
It was to build team building. And apparently that's how they got 60 wins, James.
So with Dwight Howard, maybe Dwight Howard doesn't want to play Uno. That's his problem.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't want to conform to their Uno club. Their Uno cult. Just a bit of insight from the waiver wire.
Right, right? Uno Iana for your Uno club.
Yeah, pretty much, James. On to Ian Mahinmi.
He's been fantastic, Tim.
Well, I wouldn't say fantastic.
Everyone said he was a bust as a signing. He's been injured. When did he come back? Just after Christmas, I think.
A bit later than that. Just after All-Star.
So he missed the first 60-odd
games. Not 60.
Yeah.
Shit, it's a bit much.
60-odd. Don't count.
It's about 50.
But he's been good. He had a monster game last week.
He's very, 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 very inconsistent.
Yeah. Well, with Martin Gontat ahead of him, his minutes aren't guaranteed above, 19, 20?
Yeah. One day he'll almost quadruple-double with points, rebounds, blocks and steals. The next he'll score 0 points and 3 rebounds and sit on the bench. Welcome to the life of Ian Mahinmi, everyone.
Good field goal percentage, though.
Yeah, I'm not disputing that. Well, you can't get a good field goal percentage when you go 1 of 8 from the field, zero of 8 from the field, can you? Got nothing going for you there. Averaging about 1 steal and 1 block over the last 14 days due to his 7 steal monster game.
Did he have 7 steals in one game?
He's pretty handy. Yeah, he had 16 points, 13 rebounds and 7 steals.
Wouldn't you love having that on your team? That's when I remember Thaddeus Young was averaging five steals a game during January. What a time to be alive that was.
So, do you know, my succinct analysis of Ian Mahinmi is handy. Only in about 6% of teams, so he's in your league. He's available.
He's definitely available.
Definitely available.
That 6% of leagues is probably the really deep 16-team leagues.
Steals and blocks, probably the most important stat for mine.
We talk about it, it's the neglected category.
Because who's going to go after a guy who's... You're not going to go after a guy like Thabo Sefolosha, who's averaging 2 steals but does 4 points, 4 rebounds. People don't want that. They don't want the glamour. They want the glamour on their team.
Yeah, they want 15.
You got to get the grind. You got to get the grind house.
Get on Thabo Sefolosha, by the way.
So Ian Mahinmi, not flashy at all. Nice. But 1 steal and 1 block, he's very handy.
We're not about finesse here, Tim, with the web. We're about cold hard facts.
I can guarantee you, if you get 45 steals and 30 blocks in a week, you're going to win both those categories every single week.
You'll win that every single week,
and that's two categories for you already. Unless they're punting. Unless the opposition's punting those stats, then you're in a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
You're in a bit of trouble then. But apart from that, you'll get two category wins.
I don't think that's ever a conscious choice to punt steals.
No, not really. It's a very hard stat to punt.
Yeah. It's more of a, it's more of a, like a free throw percentage or something, kind of, because people are bad at it or they're not.
Yeah.
Steals is more of like an occasional thing, you know? Sometimes people get a lot of steals in a game. Yeah. High turnover teams, all that stuff.
Because we're so high on steal, James. We've got Larry Nance Jr. 2 steals a game. Very quick with his hands.
Did you see how good his celebration was off the bench for Nick Young's dunk?
No, I didn't. Yeah. I missed it.
Don't miss it. You got to check that out.
Yeah, so Larry Nance has actually got 2 steals in every single game. It's not that he's averaging 2 steals. He's actually getting 2 steals
really?
A game. Yeah. Over the last 6.
How many minutes has he been playing a game?
About 20 to 28.
They've really, they've really embraced, since Magic Johnson came across, really embraced the youth players in their team.
Well, they need to.
Yeah, I know. I mean, what's the point of playing the veterans such as Lou Williams and Nick Young and Mozgov if you're getting blown out every night anyway?
The thing about Larry Nance is he's also a useful scorer and a rebounder.
He's actually pretty, he's a good capable ball handler. He can get to the rack and he can score. He doesn't rely on other people to drop it off for him at the paint. Like, no, he can get to the rim on his own.
He can do stuff. Sorry, just back to Ian Mahinmi. What I forgot to say was I actually added him just before as a... he's very inconsistent, so you need to make sure that you have coverage for him. And I'm encouraging you to get him if you have Wilson Chandler in your lineup, as 80% of people do. So the thing that I started laughing at was he's in 80% of teams, and today he was minus 16% of teams.
What do you mean?
Because 16% of teams dropped him. 16% of teams that owned him dropped him. When he got the injury status, so you could have put him on the IL. Put him on your IL.
I don't know. People are...
As soon as someone gets injured, they're like...
People are hasty in the playoffs, Tim. A lot of silly decisions. I mean, I had to... Because I had a lot of injuries and the schedule was stuffing me up, I had to make a lot of drops this week that I really didn't want to. Just purely because I had 3 players... playing on the bench on Sunday, as in tomorrow, and I had no one playing today. So, Playoffs does funny things to people, Tim.
Yeah, but James, Wilson Chandler has the injury status. You can put him on your IL.
Yeah, I know.
It's not costing you anything. So I put him straight into my IL, picked up Mahinmi as the inconsistent player. And if Chandler comes back, Mahinmi, see you later. You're back on the wire. If not, Mahinmi's there to get me a couple of steals, a couple of blocks, and make up. And Gallinari will be back, hopefully. So he'll be taking Chandler's minutes, so it works perfectly for me.
Well, yeah, while Markieff Morris continues to miss, Ian Mahinmi will still get a little bump there as well behind Jason Smith, who's starting. Who's balled out the last two games just quietly. But he's not... when he was in Orlando, he always used to cook Houston. He's not an option unless Markieff is really going to miss some extended time.
Bit of a flyer.
It doesn't look like at this point in time he will miss extended time, but yeah, you could have a flyer on Jason Smith.
All right, James, we're going to the drop. First of all, Eric Bledsoe.
I've got one more ad.
Oh, sorry.
Actually, no, I'll discuss it later in question time, Tim. I don't want to allude too much.
Yeah.
Does involve Larry Nance.
Drop Bledsoe. Dot. I think everyone understands.
We tweeted this out. If everyone hasn't seen the statement press release from Earl Watson, it doesn't matter who it's from.
It's the fact that Bledsoe tweeted the side eye emoji.
Yeah. Well, it's come out of the organisation that management doesn't want him to
risk his knee.
Yeah, risk his knee. Bullshit.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's bullshit.
They've been shut down.
Tyler Ulis has become the ad.
Yeah, so Bledsoe won't play another minute. There's no point keeping him. He won't get injury status.
He does actually have injury status.
Does he have injury status?
But there's no point in keeping him. He's not playing again.
Yeah, he's not going to play another second for the rest of the year. Phoenix are nowhere near playoffs. So that's it for Eric Bledsoe, Tim. Another drop. Wesley Matthews. Not pretty reading over the last 7 days. 4 points, 3 boards, 3 assists. At an...
abysmal.
What's a synonym for abysmal, Tim? Let's get some bad words in here to describe. It's horrific.
It's eye-wateringly bad. It's disgusting. I've never seen a number this low.
15.8%.
I didn't know you could shoot that in basketball.
15.8%. That's, about 1 in 7, 1 in 8?
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not good, mate. That's what it
and,
is.
And over 14 days, it's... not even any better, really, James. He's at 7.5 points instead of the 4 points. Still has 3 boards, 3 assists, 2 turnovers. That's 27%. My succinct analysis. Bye, Felicia.
Yeah, see you later, mate. Wesley Matthews has been popping up on the wire just about everywhere, Tim. I think you need to follow that trend and get the hell rid of him.
No, it hasn't really, actually. I was looking today.
No, he's popped. He's on our wire.
Yeah, but he's been there for a while.
Yeah, all right.
That's where he belongs.
I drafted that fool.
It's where he belongs. All right, this is the time where we move to the Flyers. We've changed it up a little bit.
Haven't you got one drop you're missing out on here?
Oh, sorry, I have actually. Because you skipped one.
I didn't, you skipped it.
Actually, considering Eric Gordon here to drop. He has less value than Joey Ingles right now, James. I made the best bit of business probably ever in the history of fantasy, right? Without, like, you know, swindling someone completely. I traded Eric Gordon for Jeff Teague just after the All-Star break.
Fantastic trade.
Jeff Teague averages... 16 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, a couple of steals.
At that point in time, Eric Gordon was averaging 4.5 threes a game.
Yeah, at that point he was, and then after that he's not been.
Shooting around 23% from the field, Tim, since
not good.
The All-Star break.
Not good.
High volume, low efficiency.
So he hits the same amount of three-pointers. We're comparing him to Joe Ingles to show how bad he's been. He hits the same amount of three-pointers at a worse percentage. And only chips in 2.6 boards and 2.5 assists. Why is Joe Ingles in 11% of teams? looking great right now.
We're gonna bring him back up. How good is Joe Ingles? Just quietly.
Why is he in 11% of teams? No. Eric Gordon is in 76% of teams, and Joe Ingles is in 11, and he's better than him.
Not even just quietly. Just how good is Joe Ingles? I can't believe
it. Everyone should take his example and go home. I think on All-Star break instead of participating in the three-point contest.
What a true hero.
Went to spend time with his family.
Yeah.
What a great Aussie bloke.
What a man.
Wanted to wear some thongs and have a barbie.
Yeah, absolutely. What a nice man. Tim, we're all like that over in here, Australia. If anyone wants to be generous and come out to Australia, we'll happily meet up with you, Tim. We're very nice people over here.
Why are you talking yourself up? Anyway.
Flyers, Tim.
Denzel.
Washington. We're not going to give... Oh, jeez.
Starring in a really good movie, pick him up as a pick up the flyer. Get it? The post? No. Okay, so I'll stop with that gag right now.
If you could have. I can't remember what the movie was called. He was in a.
Book of Eli?
Huh?
Book of Eli?
No, he was in a movie not too long ago. He was a pilot. If you could have made a. You know, a, connection there. That would have been funny. Flyer and flying.
Well, flyer. I said flyer is like a poster, like a flyer for the, you know, like an ad for the movie.
Oh, it's horrible.
Anyway. Denzel Valentine. The rookie.
Snakes on a goddamn plane.
11, 12, and 4 with 3 3-pointers. Ain't bad. It ain't bad at all.
It's a pretty good performance against the Wizards.
If you can pick him up on the right day for a little top-up, I get him. I wouldn't have him as a long-term ad for your whole week, especially for the playoffs. It's too risky. If you want to find the right day where you have a little, you don't have anybody playing, you need an extra player, give Denzel a look.
It's funny how we contradict each other. Just wait till question time later. I've answered the questions this week.
Oh, okay. Another flyer. We got my boy, my favourite, Timothy Luau-Cabarrot.
Denver Nuggets fans on Twitter will understand the team wanted Luau-Cabarrot to go pick 7 to the Denver Nuggets.
Can I just say, I genuinely had no idea about that mock draft, and it's probably turned out to be one of the best picks ever. Timothy Luau would probably not a pick 7, let's be honest. I picked him at pick 7, he's going to be a star. He's playing 30 minutes a night now. Given the right matchup, he could explode. Scored a season a career high, 18 points and 6 rebounds the other night.
Was that against the Lakers?
I don't think so. But he's averaging about 30 minutes a night now, so if you pick him on the right night. And you know, I picked Scala, pick 15.
He's a gun, Scala Bissieri.
Absolutely, he is. I don't know why Denver didn't drop
him. He's getting some good minutes in Sac 2, Sac Town. And so much, boy, people jumped on him like vultures in our league team.
Yeah, well, he was gone as soon as he scored
at half time. he'd been picked up. Not at half time.
Halfway through
the fourth quarter. How many points did he score in the fourth quarter? 26 or something.
Yeah, he scored their first 15 points of the quarter.
All
right, James, on to question time.
It's question time. Question time. Dun, 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 dun. Nah, Tim, we're not stealing. No more copyright infringements, alright? We're going professional now. We can't copyright everything. We can't steal.
Well, we could. Before the game is defunct. If anyone... do you reckon anybody's realised that? Where we got that from? Tool of the Week?
No one would know. Who cares? No one cares about the Tool of the
Week. If anyone remembers before the game and did know that we took Tool of the Week...
Give you a bloody hoodie.
Did know that we took Tool of the Week from them, and that's the thing that we play every week, is Limo. Shouting out to all the week.
If Limo messages me and says, "Can you guys stop using Tool of the Week?" I will personally send a written apology to his house. That is how little I reckon people care about the Home Hardware Tool of the Week.
Yeah, that's why we cut out the Home Hardware bit, so it wasn't so you couldn't realise. Anyway, Dave, on to question time.
Why are we talking about copyright infringements on?
It's not in copyright. If it's on YouTube, it's fine. Anyway, Dave, next.
Free use. All right, Tim. This one comes from Adrian. We've had your thoughts on this already.
Hey, Adrian.
Hey, Adrian, what's up? Denzel Valentine, Tim. Is he worth the punt? All right, we've heard your thoughts, Tim. I'm ready to go here.
Come on, unleash.
Absolutely, Denzel Valentine is worth the punt. Absolutely. He's been closing games for Chicago, Tim. In the fourth quarter, who are you expecting on the floor? You're expecting Rajon Rondo, Dwayne Wade. Who else is good? They don't have any good players. Robin Lopez, Bobby Portis. He's not good at basketball, but he's their starting power forward.
Don't talk about Bobby Portis like that.
And who's their starting small forward at the moment? Who knows? It changes every week.
Paul Zipser.
Yeah, it changes every week. But he's the prototype player that Fred Hoiberg wants and needs to run that Chicago offense.
The mayor. Why are you laughing?
It's a shocking nickname. The mayor. Give me a spell. Has, what? Was the is his wife called the Thoroughbred? The Stallion?
What?
The mare. Get it?
Oh, my God. She's called Winx.
Kick Winx. Has scored in double figures in the last 5 games and added 3 3-pointers in 4 of those, Tim. That's real handy. That is real handy. He's averaging nearly 30 points a night. 30 minutes a night. I wish he was averaging nearly 30 points a night.
Gee, but James, he'd be in 100% of teams.
28 MPGs over the last 5 games, which is pretty good. And finished the night with 12 boards, as you alluded to earlier before. Double-digit scoring. I think he's averaging 7 boards a game in the last 5. So, you know, he's averaging 11 and 7. Pretty good clip from the field. 3 3-pointers. So he scores 3 threes a game and then 1-2. That's about it. That's what's happened the last 4 or 5 games. And he seems to have the bump over Mirotić at the moment. Mirotić's minutes are just... Tim, do we know what's going on?
No.
I know fellow fantasy basketball people have been as confounded about this as we have, really. I mean, Josh Lloyd, we talked at length about Mirotić at the All-Star break. We thought he was a breakout candidate with the trades that for Doug McDermott. We thought, ooh, this is, opens up a slot for Mirotić. Obviously not. It's opened up the slot for Denzel Valentine to come through, and well, he's shining. So absolutely, I'm taking the punt on him here.
Nikola Mirotić is the prime favourite for the LIP.
What's that?
Least improved player of the year. Sorry, not least improved. Biggest regression. Takes off Emmanuel Mudiay, I reckon.
Oh, he doesn't even... He's the third string point guard now. Dropped from the starting point guard halfway through the season to now third string point guard. Get out of here. Anyway, next question. This one's from Smatho. We've got another one from Smatho a little bit later. But this one first. Jarrell Smith or Joe Ingles? What's the go? Is it Corey Joseph worth more than these guys? All right, let's eliminate the first part of this equation. So J.R. Smith is definitely not worth anything near as much as Joe Ingles. And that's fine. His only plus is points and threes. And he's a high-volume, low-efficiency guy. He shot 23% from the field today, so he can get out of here. And he just really kills your field goal percentage without adding too much apart from points, so... He gets swipe. I'll swipe left on him, Tim, I think.
You'll swipe left?
I'll swipe left. probably not worth it at this point with his shot still being off from his injury. Still suffering with that... was it a broken thumb? Something like that. No, well.
He was there for a long time.
Yeah. On the other hand, Tim, our boy Joseph. Joseph Ingles.
Joseph.
Joseph Ingles. Not Broseph. Corey. Not Corey Joseph. Joseph. Joseph Ingles.
Broseph Ingles.
Shooting 45% from three. 2.4 three-pointers, 10 points, 4 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 1 steal. Well, I talked about that earlier.
Yeah, we've already discussed how good he is.
Putting up.
Why is he in 11% of teams?
He's putting it up across the board, Tim. What's going on? Why is he in 11% of teams? Okay, without Rodney Hood in the lineup, Tim, he needs to be owned in your league.
I don't understand.
Can we just... Let's just make this go for another half an hour, Tim, of just repeating... Repeat after me. So we'll just, you know...
Why is he only in 11% of teams?
Pick up Joe Ingles. We'll just keep repeating it until it gets stuck in everyone's head. Pick up Joe Ingles. You know, some subliminal messages just halfway through, pick up Joe Ingles. That halfway through speaking in your sentence, you just chuck it in there, and everyone picks up Joe Ingles.
Well, maybe if you think about it this way, James, maybe our listenership is only enough for 11% of Yahoo, so that's why he's in 11% of teams.
I like the way you think, James.
I don't know if they had
enough. Think 11% of Yahoo listens to this podcast? You're dreaming.
I'd love if 11% of Yahoo fantasy listened to this
podcast. I'd love it if 11% of our house listened to... the inhabitants of our house listened to the podcast.
Yeah, moving on, James. We don't need to talk about it enough.
Anyway, back to... So, Corey Joseph. This is where it's a little bit different here. So, Corey Joseph, without Kyle Lowry, I still think... For me, Corey Joseph just gets the upper hand. Just.
What's that? The hell does that mean?
I'm struggling. That's what it means. Because I can't go against our boy, Joseph. But, look, DeLon Wright isn't as capable as Ingles' backups is. I think DeLon Wright is not as good as Dante Exum, even though Dante... I might be a little biased.
A bit trash. just a little bit trash.
So Corey Joseph's averaging 10 points, 3.6 rebounds, 5.1 assists, 1.1 steals. Does have a few... Averages nearly 2 turnovers a game, though, and at 44 field goal percentage. So really, where this differs is, what do you need? Assists or three-pointers? Whatever's more of a pressing need? Sorry?
Smatho said he needed three-pointers.
He needs three-pointers? Well, Joe Ingles is your man. I think if you need assists, you're looking at Corey Joseph. If you need three-pointers, you're looking at Joe Ingles. But otherwise, their production is
very similar.
Pretty similar across the board. So that's the first one there. And the last question for today, also from Smatho.
Zubac
or Nance? This is interesting, Tim. You pumped up Larry Nance's tyres just before. You
he's quite capable.
Pumped him up to 44 PSI.
That's so how it should be.
Now they're roadworthy. Zubac, Tim. Last 14 days. This is only in 21.12 minutes per game, might I add.
21.12, you reckon?
21 minutes and 12 seconds.
That's better.
66% of the field. 6.6 field goals from 10 attempts a game. This is only in 21 minutes.
And 12 seconds.
Valuable 12 seconds. We've seen what Greg Monroe can do in 16 minutes, Tim. 12 seconds is valuable.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
A putrid 37.5% from the line.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
A putrid percentage. But he's only averaging 1.6 free throws a game, so that's all right. I mean, if he takes one and misses one...
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Shit happens. 0 3-pointers. At this point in time, you're like, oh, no. What's going on? Then we get to the good stuff. 14 points, Tim. 6 rebounds. Nearly 1 assist. No steals and 1.5 blocks. With less than half of... With almost half a turnover a game. That's in 21 minutes.
Well, you just took 21 minutes to say his bloody stat line.
That's in 21 minutes, Tim. If we change that around and we look at last 7 days, it goes up to 22 minutes and 15 seconds. That's a whole minute extra of play. And for that, we've got 70 field goal percentage, Tim. And we've got 14 points and we've got 6.8 rebounds and 0.8 assists and 1.3 blocks. Still less than a turnover a game. He can produce, Tim, in the 22 minutes a game he's given. He will probably play a minimum of 22 minutes a game from here on out. With Mozgov sent to the bleachers, he's done. Mozgov's done. And Larry Nance, we'll see if he's going to share with Tarik Black. Tarik Black isn't very good at basketball.
He's a good hustle.
Ivaka Zubac is a must pick up for me.
Out of those two?
No, not just out of those two, Tim. He's a must add for me.
Larry Nance is averaging 3 steals. In the last 7 days.
Okay, it comes back to what you
1.5
need.
1.5 assists, 4.5 rebounds, 6.8 points, 0.5 3-pointers, 87.5% from the line, 45% from the field. And only 20.15, as you like to say, James.
Comes back to what you need.
I'll give you that. Zubac's probably a better pickup unless you want steals. Yeah. Get on my boy Larry Nance.
But there's some, we've provided some very good options, Tim, and our insightful analysis will allow people to make their own decisions just for us. For our needs, and from what we can derive from the question that's been asked, we believe Zubac is a better fit. That's all. That's all it means. That's it.
All right, James. I think it's time. You've fallen asleep on me, really. You've taken about 1 second.
Because, Tim, a one-second pause between each. I'm trying to make sure it all sinks in. It's a very important fact. If I said Zubac, I don't know how you'd bloody say it.
Zubac
is a must-add. How is he only in 35% of teams and Joey Ingles is in 11?
That's rubbish.
What's going on?
Alright, thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Waiver Wire. We'll be back on Thursday, Wednesday.
One day this week, you know.
To give you another daily rundown.
It's the day, just quietly, the daily rundown has been on fire.
James, your tire's already at 54 PSI. You don't need to bump them.
They're going to explode.
It's a bit like your head, mate. A bit big. Anyway.
Mate, at least I got a nice head of hair on my head.
Anyway, thanks for that, James. We'll be here next week.
We're always here, Tim.
See you all soon.